Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mwanahiba, how are you?
I'm right. Zam, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. I hope you're good.
I am well. I am well. We are blessed. We have the rains, and here in Zambia, we are praising God for that.
Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed are you. Well, we got some beautiful rains as well here. We're just enjoying the blessings from above.
We praise the Lord.
Now, Pastor, this week you're going to be talking to us about generosity in a consumer-driven society. And those who are joining us, by the way, we are talking to Pastor Mwanahiba, who's going to be addressing this topic with us this very week. Until Friday, he's going to be talking to us every day at this time. Now, you know, if you read the Bible, that it is in its entirety a generosity story. It could be captured by 9 words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. So God is in all ways a giving God. But what does that mean for us as his people living in a selfish, greedy, consumer-driven and poor world? So, Pastor, let's get to it. What does the Bible teach us about generosity, if at all?
Okay. Thank you, my brother. And once again, what an important subject that we are discussing. The first thing that I want to say is that when we look at generosity, it's a very broad, you know, the Bible has a very broad range of things to teach us about generosity. But perhaps maybe what I would say is that generosity is something that begins with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we talk about generosity, we need to understand first and foremost that God is the author and God is the source of everything that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when we read James chapter 1, verse 17,
yeah,
the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God.
Yes.
So everything that is positive in our lives, whether it be material things, whether it be, you know, our emotional state, our health,
yeah,
everything that is positive in life has come from God. So though the topic is broad, I would want to say three things.
Yeah.
That the Bible teaches us about generosity. And I know that there's so much more to say, but I want to just point out three things as we try to introduce our lesson. So the first one, of course, is that, as we have alluded to, generosity begins with God.
Yes, yes.
The second thing that I will try to talk about a little bit is that there's also a way in which to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
God actually prescribes how we are supposed to engage in generosity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the third thing that I want to talk about is motivation. What should be the motivation when we talk about giving, when we talk about being generous? What should motivate us to be generous?
Yeah.
And so maybe in beginning, I would like to say that for this particular topic,
mm-hmm,
I will want to focus my attention a lot in the book of Matthew chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few other chapters from the Gospel of Matthew, but just around the book of Matthew, I think it's very rich in terms of the subject of generosity and giving.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Brother Zama, this is how it reads.
Yeah.
Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Then he goes on to say, freely you have received, freely give.
Okay.
Now, when you look at the things that Jesus actually is telling the disciples in verse 8 to give, none of the things that we have read that are listed are material things. None of them. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Mm. Oh, Pastor?
For giving, many times we limit giving to material possessions, things, items. But what we find from this verse is Jesus mentions the fact that they have been freely given, they should freely give, and none of what they are supposed to give in this context has anything to do with material possessions. So we are not limited by what material things we have or what things we don't have. We should always look at the fact that there's something that we can give. So freely we have been given, and freely we should give. The second thing, my brother, is the how. Now, Jesus actually makes mention in Matthew chapter 6 that when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets.
Yeah, yeah.
As the hypocrites, don't blow your trumpet when you are helping those that are poor, when you are helping those that are needy. Even when you are doing something for someone else, maybe who is not a needy person, maybe he's a rich person. Because what I've learned, brothers, in my life, there's no one who has it all. Even the people that we think are rich may need some kind of help from us. And what should be observed in the text is that Jesus says, no matter what help you are giving, do not announce it. Do it in secret. Do it privately. Actually, the text goes on to say, truly I tell you the truth. Those who do this have received their reward in full. When you get the applause and the honor from men and people, you know, clap hands for you because of your generosity, God says that you have received your full reward. So the admonition there is how we are supposed to give, we are supposed to do it privately. And then finally, the last thing I'll say in summary is, of course, the motivation.
Yes.
And this one, I think we'll continue to allude to this. And that should be love.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that the love of Christ compels us. So the motivation to give, the motivation to help, the motivation to be kind always should be love.
The love. Mm. Are you still there, Pastor?
Yes, I'm still there.
Right. Thank you so much for that. Yes. Now, is it a gift given to certain people? Like prophecy or wealth, or you know, etc. Or is it required of every single Christian, regardless of background, social economic status, etc.?
Ah, that's a very, very good question. Very good question. Actually, it seems that there are a few verses that suggest that giving is actually a gift. All right.
Okay.
So my answer would be, it is in a sense, all right, It is in a sense a gift. There are some people that are more generous than others, okay? However, when we talk about giving in general, it is something that each person who is born again is expected by God to engage in.
Yeah.
Now, we need to take into account that every single good work that is done, including giving, including generosity, these are virtues of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, true.
One of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness.
Mm.
All right? So, therefore, any giving that is done outside of the Holy Spirit, outside of the presence of God within us, is just basically a facade.
Okay.
And so when we have the Holy Spirit, when we accept Christ into our lives, giving becomes then a natural thing that we engage in. So I would say that in another sense, everyone, it is not exclusive to a special group of people that we say, well, the way this one is blessed, you know, maybe with the ability to preach or gifted with, you know, being a, you know, a prophet or some special kind of a spiritual gift. When it comes to generosity, it's actually a requirement for anyone that's part of the Christendom.
Mm. Beautiful. So basically what you're saying is that it does not matter how much you give or how much you really have in terms of what you possess. Fact is, there's no quantification of this is how much you should give as long as you are giving. Is that what you're suggesting?
That is actually the point, my brother. You know, and here's the thing that I want that all of us understand.
Mm.
When Peter was, you know, approaching the gate in Acts chapter 3,
mm.
there was a lame man who was a beggar who was stretching out his hand hoping for some money
mm.
from Peter and John. But Peter says, silver and gold I have not,
yeah.
but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for a lot of people, for a lot of us, we will simply end by saying, I don't have the money. I don't have what you are asking for.
Mm.
And because I don't have gold, I don't have silver, I cannot be a giver. But we find a perfect example from Peter who mm. didn't have the money, but was able to give something of greater value
yes.
To this lame beggar that was in need.
Mm, beautiful. Now, how does a generous spirit impact the Christian's life and relationships with people, with God, and material property?
Wow, that's a very good question. When we talk about being a giver, we all must fight and strive, especially as we are beginning this new year, 2025.
Mm.
If there's one thing that we should all resolve to be, is to be a giver.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
You know, the Greek word, sorry to just highlight this, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word for blessed actually can also be translated as happy.
Mm.
So you'll find that actually in the Beatitudes, some versions would say, blessed are the poor, blessed, blessed, blessed. But that same word can also be translated as happy. Mm. Are you still there with me, my brother?
I'm actually quite impressed with that your information, yes?
Yes. So givers, the Bible says it is more blessed
to give
mm. than to receive.
Yeah.
That same word, Makarios, which is translated as happy or blessed, is the same word that is used here where Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, happier is the person who gives than the one who receives.
Hmm.
A person who is a giver is a person who is happier. Now, I'll share a few thoughts. One of the things that I want to say, scientifically, studies have proven that people who are givers are happier people and healthier people than those that take.
Yeah.
This is, whether you Google it, whether you do your research, you will discover that people that give, philanthropy, people that, you know, engage in being generous, they are happier than people that don't. That's the first thing. So the other thing is that in terms of perspective, in relationships with one another, your attitude as a giver is always from a place of possession. The attitude of a receiver is always, you know, he always looks at things from a position of lack and want.
Mm, mm.
And sometimes the issue, even when as we talk about poverty and lack,
mm.
more than anything, it begins in the mind, your perspective. I'm not saying poor people and rich people don't exist, but I know many people who have things, abundance of things, but they are not happy.
Mm.
They are not happy. Why? Because there's the concept of cup half full and cup half empty. All right.
Mm.
One person can look at things and say, my cup is half full, The other looks at things and says, my cup is half empty. What is your perspective? The perspective of someone who is a giver is that I am blessed. I have something to give. I have, you know, there's someone who is in a worse off situation than me that I can help. And you find that as you engage in giving, you are a naturally happier person. Actually, there's a feel-good hormone that is released as you give, called oxytocin, that actually helps even in terms of the psychological aspect. The other thing I want to say about being a giver, I know that time is not on our side.
That's fine. Let's go ahead.
Givers generally also are people that don't expect too much.
True.
One of the things that causes disappointment and frustration and stress in life is that people expect more from people than people are able to offer them.
Yeah.
And so you find that you are always wanting, why didn't this uncle do this to me? Why didn't this person, after I helped them last time, they've forgotten about me when I'm in my, you know, in my time of need. But someone who has developed the culture of giving, especially without expecting anything in return. Actually, this is why Jesus talks about the fact that when we give, let us not be like the pagans who give to those who can give them back. Let us be like our Heavenly Father who gives, knowing very well sometimes people may not reciprocate. That helps the mind, that helps the heart for you to be content. You are less disappointed by the things that people do to you or that they don't do for you. And when we talk about one of the fundamental relationships in our society is marriage. I'll say three things. A marriage between two takers is the worst possible marriage that you can ever find.
Yeah, true.
A marriage where one is a taker and one is a giver is a little bit better. But the best marriage, Brother Zamba, that you can find is a marriage of two people that are givers. Always thinking about how can I bless my friend? What nice thing can I do for my spouse? What nice thing can I do for my friend? Those are the marriages that last. The Bible tells us that the eyes of God actually hover to and fro the earth, looking for whom he may show himself strong, you know, on whose behalf he may show himself strong. So God is actually looking, while the devil is looking for who to pounce on. God is looking for whom he can bless. Who can I bless today? Who can I give today? And when we adopt that in our relationship with God, we adopt that in our relationship with our fellow human beings, we will discover a peace and a tranquility and a fullness and a happiness that the world cannot provide.
Beautiful stuff. Now, last question before I let you go, Pastor. How does a culture of generosity reflect on the church as a whole, especially to unbelievers?
Very good question. You know, one of the things that really gets me thinking as a pastor and as a Christian, when I read the story of Peter, the same one I alluded to in Acts chapter 3, we find the beggar comes by the temple, the gate, strategically positions himself where he believes that the people that are coming here are believers, they are Christians, they worship God. So this is the best place for me to position myself to ask for help. I wonder, Brother Zama, today how many people who are needy, who are beggars, who have a problem, would think about going to the church for help?
Oh, my goodness.
I really wonder. Ooh. When we think about ourselves today, the way in our postmodern society, how many people would think, how many beggars? You know, I'll talk about our situation here in Zambia. I don't know what it's like in SA. I've been there a few times, but I don't know what it's like now. In Zambia, beggars want to go stand maybe by the entrance of ShopRite. They want to be on the road, the highway where cars are passing. They see this nice car. Maybe this person can help me, you know, around the central business district. That's where beggars want to be, not around the church. I am somehow tempted to think they have reached a point where they realize, unfortunately, you will not be able to find much help from the church.
Sadly.
We are called, Brother Zama, to actually, the church actually is called the body of Christ.
True.
Meaning, we are supposed to be the arms and the legs. We are supposed to be an extension of Jesus Christ. There's no person who needed help. Actually, Jesus says of himself, actually, all those that come to me, I will not turn any away. But how many people do we turn away as a church? People that come for help.
Sure.
I remember quite a few times, those who have been brave enough to come, they come to church, an announcement is made probably by the elder or the deacons that there's somebody who needs help, money for transport, money to move, or there's a funeral. Generally, we find a situation where we are not as helpful as we are supposed to be. We are always skeptical. Maybe they are not genuinely in need. Maybe it's a scam. We have found every excuse nowadays not to help. But let me just say in closing, we are called as the body of Christ to be an extension of Jesus in the world. We are his feet, we are his hands. Generosity is the essence of Christianity.
True.
Love can never really be love until it is given. When you have not yet given, love is still just probably, we could say it's just still potential. It is only realized its fulfillment, its potential, when we actually now open our hands to give. Whether that is giving, and giving can be so many different things. It doesn't have to be money. It can be advice. Some of the people who are living most comfortably today is not because they might have been given capital. Maybe it's because they were given a very good idea, a good business idea. Somebody shared with them where they can find help. Somebody gave them an idea. And so, when we talk about giving, I want to end by saying that we always all have something to give.
True.
Let us just work to identify that thing.
We definitely all have something to give, and we have to just identify what that is. A beautiful point to end it at, Pastor. Thank you so much for your time and for your availability. We're going to be connecting tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Amen.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Have a good day, my brother. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.